From the University of Texas at Austin, KUT Radio, this is In Black America.
Well, you know, here's the thing. I just gravitate to what I want to create. And sometimes people will send me a script or there's an idea that I have. So when I think in terms of the five heartbeats, for example, I wanted to do a movie about five guys, total different guys, and how they become a family making music. And so that's how that came about. Meteor Man, I wanted to, you know, be the first African-American superhero, and I wanted it to be funny, and I wanted to make it for kids. So Holiday Heart, which is a film that I directed, I think, you know, it's a theme, you know, of non-traditional family. But I think anytime, you know, I create stuff, even The Parenthood, that I just really wanted to help raise a generation of kids, because I know they're going to be sitting in front of the TV. So how do I give them, you know, basic lessons on morals and values? And that's why I created that show.
Robert Townsend, comedian, actor, film director, producer, writer, and former cable network programming CEO. He has been referred to as the godfather of the independent film world. With more than three decades in the entertainment industry, many of us remember the memorable work he has produced. He is the genius behind Hollywood Shuffle, The Meteor Man, and The Five Heartbeats. Townsend also created award-winning programming for television. This includes Partners in Crime for HBO, Townsend Television for Fox Television, and the WB Network series, The Parenthood. His most recent project for television is directing American Soul, the untold story of Soul Train and the man behind its legacy, Don Cornelius. Townsend's documentary, Making the Five Heartbeats, was a nominee for Outstanding Documentary at the 50th NAACP Image Award. I'm Johnny O. Henson Jr., and welcome to another edition of In Black America. On this week's program, the legendary Robert Townsend in Black America.
I would say it has changed. You know, I mean, there's a lot more images of people of color. There's a lot of new voices that have emerged. So, you know, when I started, it was just basically me and Spike.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Keenan started to make, you know, movies, and then John Singleton appeared. So, you know, now there's a whole new crop of filmmakers that are, you know, aggressive and taking chances. And so it is a different Hollywood now.
As a child growing up on Chicago's West Side, Hollywood icon Robert Townsend has always been fascinated with the entertainment industry. Raised by a single mother with four siblings on welfare, he spent much of his afternoon time watching television. He began to practice acting out scenes and imitating famous characters. His first film break came as an extra in Cooley High. From there, he landed a role co-starring opposite Denzel Washington in A Soldier's Story. Finding work for African-American actors hard to come by, he decided to step out on his own as an independent filmmaker. He wrote, directed, produced, and starred in Hollywood Shuffle. The film was a satire depicting the trials and tribulations of African-American actors in Tinseltown. The success of the movie made Hollywood take notice, and Townsend was on his way to bigger projects. Eddie Murphy was so impressed with Hollywood Shuffle, he asked him to direct Eddie Murphy Raw. Townsend has been the genius behind many of Hollywood's favorite and best-remembered hit series and movies. Recently, In Black America had an opportunity for the exclusive interview with Robert Townsend.
I grew up, man, it was rough. You know, I lived in K-Town, and it was you know, gangs on every corner, and, you know, I couldn't play outside because my mother was afraid that I was going to get recruited by one of the gangs. And so, you know, it was a rough time, but it was through that I learned about theater and television and movies, because I was this little kid.
What were some of the TV shows that you frequently watched while you were destined for the house?
I watched everything. You know, as a kid, I watched everything. I mean, so you can Hitchcock, Alfred Hitchcock.
Mm-hmm.
I watched The Guns of Will Sonnet. I Love Lucy, you name a TV show, Lassie, I watched everything. You know, I even watched PBS. I watched opera, French movies. I was a strange little kid, but I loved it all.
So what was life like growing up in a house with you at three other siblings?
Yeah, I am the second oldest. There's my sister. My sister Beverly is the oldest, and mm-hmm. then my brother Steve is under me, and then my sister Ann. And so, you know, we lived in a little small house, you know, apartment, and you know, it was my mother had remarried then, and my stepfather Roosevelt, and basically the bathroom was my room, and so in the bathroom is where I would, you know. Go into my fantasy world, creating my characters and
you
stuff.
Got good acoustics in there.
Exactly. So that's kind of where it started for me, doing, you know, doing impressions and characters and stuff when I was like nine, ten.
What was it about that Shakespearean play when you were in high school that gave you the impetus that maybe this is something I want to do for a living?
Well, what it was that it was really in grammar school. I was in fifth grade.
Okay.
And there was a teacher, his name was James Reed, and he wanted kids in the hood to learn about Shakespeare. And so he had us read like three pages of, you know, a scene from Shakespeare. And I just remember it was really, really hard. And, you know, this is how I really started because, you know, I was a kid in the hood. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to get an A on the paper and, you know, just to read it. And, you know, it looked so hard to me. So I went to the library and I stole all the Shakespeare records because I'm a little kid.
Right.
And I go, I'm going to listen to them and see if I can understand it better. And when I listened to them on our stereo, you know, in the house, I kind of understood it. And so when we had to read, you know, a scene from Oedipus Rex in class, mm-hmm. I could really, you know, do it like the Royal Shakespeare Company. And so as I read the scene, the class went crazy, but the teacher was like, you have a gift. Mm-hmm. And that's when it started for me.
When did you develop your stand-up comedy?
You know what? I always was a fan of, you know, comedians that I saw on the Ed Sullivan Show.
Right.
And because, you know, I like making people laugh, and I've always, you know, thought really silly and funny. I don't know when the very first time, there was a club in Chicago called Punchinello's, and Punchinello's was in downtown Chicago, and I remember that was the first time I performed stand-up. And I had a routine where I would, you know, turn around in a circle and I would do these different characters. And I called it, you know, something like, I don't know, you know, change the channel. And then I could do all these different voices. And that was my first routine.
What gave you the courage to move to New York?
Well, it wasn't so much the courage. There was a teacher. I was going to school at Illinois State University in Normal, Bloomington.
Mm-hmm.
And I was there, and I was a freshman, and I was fascinated with theater in New York. And there was a teacher that was there from New York, and I would ask about, you know, New York. And I was like, how do the actors, what is Broadway like? How do the actors? And she said, stop asking me about New York because you don't have what it takes to make it in New York. You don't have what it takes to make it in this business. And she shut me down. And I called my mother because it was devastating to me. And I called my mother and I said, you know what? I am going to transfer to New York, to a school in New York. I got to see if I can make it, if I can do what's in my heart. And I transferred. There was a student exchange program, and I transferred to a college. I couldn't get into New York, but I got a college 20 minutes from New York, William Patterson College in Patterson, New Jersey, and I transferred. And that's how I got to New York, because of that teacher.
And what did you major in?
Theater. I made mass communications and theater. So I did I was a theater minor, and radio and TV communications was my major.
And how long did you stay in New York before you decided to move where you are now in Los Angeles?
Well, I lived in New York for about 6-7 years. And I was doing stand-up. I had met a young comedian online, lining up to get, you know, to an audition for the improv. And that was Keenan Ivory Wayans.
Mm-hmm.
And so Keenan and I, you know, were the only brothers on standing outside waiting to audition. And we became like, you know, really good friends. And Keenan moved to L.A. first. And then after Keenan moved to L.A., then that's when I, you know, Keenan said, hey, Rob, I'll fly back to New York, and we can drive your stuff across country. You got to come to L.A. And that's how I got to L.A. Keenan drove me across country.
Did you ever run across Bernie Mac while you were in Chicago? Did you all do in the same club?
No, I never, because I had left by that point.
Okay.
And I was just doing movies and television. And when I met Bernie, I was directing BAPS.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a little small part in BAPS, and everybody was like, this guy out of Chicago, you need to meet him, Bernie Mac. And then Bernie did the cameo in BAPS for
right,
me,
right.
You know, but I didn't know him, you know, I just knew he's a funny man. Oh my God. But I would see him at clubs and he goes like, you know, I'm from Chicago, boy. You know, I'm from Chicago. You know, we Chicago boys. We got to stick together. You know, and I was just like, man, but he was a beautiful brother, beautiful brother.
I understand. We'll be back with more of our conversation in a moment. If you're just joining us, I'm Johnny O. Hanson, Jr., and you're listening to In Black America from KUT Radio. And we're speaking with Robert Townsend, actor, comedian, film director, former CEO of a network, writer, and one of my favorite TV programs that I watch constantly now, The Parenthood. Mr. Thompson, tell us about that cameo role in Cooley High.
You know, when I was a young actor in Chicago, I was doing theater at X-Bag. It was called X-Bag, Experimental Black Actors Guild.
Mm-hmm.
And the director, my first director there, Paymoon Rami, he was also working on a movie, this new movie coming to Chicago, doing extras and helping out behind the scenes. It was called Cooley High.
Mm-hmm.
And so the director, Michael Schultz, came to see me in the play at X-Bag, and then he goes, oh, you're going to have an audition. And so I went in an audition. I had, you know, like a little small part, but I had never done a movie before. And that movie changed my life because I had two lines in the movie,
right.
But then the movie became a classic. When I saw
right.
it, I said, I want to make movies like that. Those are the kind of movies I want to make. And that kind of changed. I remember watching it. I think it was downtown at the Woods Theater was the premiere or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember seeing that movie. And it just changed me because back then we had, you know, black exploitation movies.
Right.
You know, but they were just my heroes. So I can't even say exploitation. They were.
Mm-hmm.
It was the first time we had, you know, black men and women kicking butt and taking names and falling in love and getting a girl. And, you know, so they were my heroes. So I don't, when people say black exploitation, you know, but that was, a certain genre. But then Cooley High came out and it was like my childhood. It was like me and my boys hanging out.
Yeah.
So that was how it began. But that audition with Michael Schultz.
What was it like that first day on set? You know, you dream about being in a movie, but actually showing up and knowing I'm going to be in a movie no matter how small the part is.
Well, you know, you're in awe. You know, I mean, I was just like, oh, my God. And I had, you know, seen Lawrence Hilton Jacobs, and I knew Glenn Turman and
mm-hmm.
their work. And
mm-hmm.
so I was just like, oh, my God, I'm getting to work with New York, you know, the New York, the A-list of New York, you know, black actors. So I was just in heaven. And then, you know, I didn't know Michael Schultz, you know, but the way
right.
he talked to actors, he just made everybody feel really comfortable.
It's your homeboy.
Yeah. Yeah, he was just really cool. And it was just, you know, and we just had the best time. And I just remember like, wow, you know, this is what movies are like.
Another memorable role playing Corporal Ellis in A Soldier Story.
Oh, man, that was a ball because that was the first time I worked with Denzel.
Did you know he was going to blow up like he has?
Oh, my God. I mean, he's always been really serious about his craft. So, no, I'm not surprised.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not surprised at all. I mean, you know, back then, you know, because he had done the show the theater production of A Soldier's Play.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in L.A., and I remember loving the show. But then, you know, when they said, hey, they're going to make a movie, you know, they always go after the biggest names in Hollywood. And so Norman Jewison, who directed it, he was kind of like, you know what, I'm going to go with new faces. I'm not going to go with the traditional route. And then Reuben Cannon was casting it, and I went in for the part of Corporal Ellis, and I got it. And it was me, Denzel, David Alan Greer, right. Howard Rollins, Adolf Caesar, and we just had a ball.
Now, Caesar is not with us any longer, but the rest of them are. Do you all still get a chance to come across each other from time to time?
Well, you know, Howard Rollins passed
right.
away as
Howard,
well.
Right, yes.
You know, so, I mean, but everybody's always, you know, everybody's busy. So we see each other every now and then, like at an award show or something. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, people are always traveling. And so if you're in the same city and you run into each other, we do still see each other.
Why was it important for you to make Hollywood Shuffle?
Well, Hollywood Shuffle came at a time when the images of people of color were really negative.
Mm-hmm.
There were more, you know, they had, you know, the stereotypes in full effect. You know, you had pimps, you had drug dealers, you
right.
had gangsters, you know, so it was just, and that's all you saw, black men.
Mm-hmm.
So I was, either I was going to die because that's the box that at that time that Hollywood was putting all black, you know, actors in. And, you know, rather than complain, I decided that I was going to make a movie, you know, well, Keenan and I decided that we
mm-hmm.
were going to make a movie about our journey as young actors in Hollywood, and that's kind of how it all started. We shot the movie in 12 days. To finish the film, I used my credit cards, so
mm-hmm.
it was just hustling on the highest level, and then the film became a huge success.
I was going to ask you about that. Did you ever think it would be an iconic classic that I watch every time it comes on television?
Well, here's the thing that I would say is that when you create something that you're just having fun
mm.
and it's not about, like, what people think,
right.
Keenan and I were just having a good time and being silly and making each other laugh. We thought it was funny, and then eventually the world said, oh, this is really funny, and it just came together, but we were just having a good time. Did we think it was good? Yeah, we thought it was funny. You know, did we think it was going to take off the way it did? Not really. We just knew we had done something different and special.
That same year you directed Eddie Murphy's Raw. How did you and Mr. Murphy get together?
Well, Eddie was on the comedy circuit, you know,
mm-hmm.
in New York, and we had all seen each other. And then after we did Hollywood Shuffle, Eddie called and wanted to, because he had heard about the movie, and he said, ah, Rob, everybody talking about Hollywood Shuffle, man, you know. And, you know, we weren't in that many theaters, so you couldn't really see it, and it wasn't like DVDs or anything,
mm-hmm,
you know.
Mm-hmm.
So then I said, man, I'll set up a screening for you. But I had also written a scene in there where we talk about being an Eddie Murphy type. And
right.
so then, you know, and then Keenan was like, because Keenan didn't want to put the scene in there. And I was like, Keenan, you know, it's funny, man. They want us to be like Eddie Murphy. And he's like, Rob, don't put that in there. And I put it in there. And then Eddie calls and says, I want to see the movie. And so we were like, oh, my God, I made a mistake. And so we have the screening for Eddie, and he loves the movie, and he loves the scene. And then as he's walking out of the screening, he says, hey, I'm getting ready to do this movie, a stand-up concert film. It's going to be called Raw. You want to direct it? And I said, yeah. And he goes, it's yours then. And that's how I got Raw.
When you sit down to do a project, what are some of the elements that you want to include? Because it seems that from my vantage point thus far, the movies that you've made, even the television programs, are somewhat family friendly.
Well, you know, here's the thing. I just gravitate to what I want to create. And sometimes people will send me a script or there's an idea that I have. So when I think in terms of the five heartbeats, for example, I wanted to do a movie about five guys, total different guys, and how they become a family making music. And so that's how that came about. Meteor Man, I wanted to, you know, be the first African-American superhero, and I wanted it to be funny, and I wanted to make it for kids. So Holiday Heart, which is a film that I directed. I think, it's a theme, of non-traditional family. But I think anytime, I create stuff, even The Parenthood, that I just really wanted to help raise a generation of kids, because I know they're going to be sitting in front of the TV. So how do I give them, basic lessons on morals and values? And that's why I created that show.
Tell us about the Robert Townsend Foundation.
My foundation, I have always been committed to filmmakers and helping artists of color. And so over the years, I've done master classes around the country, and I've mentored a lot of different filmmakers. And so it's just my way of giving back.
I was going to ask you, you mentioned it in your other answer. Have you put your finger on why the Five Heartbeats, every time it comes on, it's a major viewing event, and it had lasted, 20-plus years?
You know, I think the Five Heartbeats resonates with people because the different themes.
Mm-hmm.
I think, one, it's about forgiveness. At the end of the day, you have five guys, you have a falling out, you have a roller coaster ride of rags to riches and all of that. But at the end of the day, they are still family, and they forgive each other and they work it out. And I think everybody in life goes through ups and downs, and it's like, how do you handle it? And I think at the end of the Five Heartbeats, and I don't know if you've seen the documentary Making the Five Heartbeats,
yes,
which is, the journey behind the film,
mm-hmm,
but it's kind of like that theme of forgiveness is the overriding thing.
Can you tell us about the Gentleman Jack Wheel to Reel project? Are you working with that still?
Yes, I am. As a matter of fact, on July 10th,
mm-hmm,
at the Wiltern Theater in Los Angeles, Gentleman Jack has been doing something really interesting. They have been doing all of these screenings of short films as well as discussions with filmmakers. So on July 10th at the Wiltern, they're going to show a few films from up-and-coming filmmakers, and then they're going to have a discussion with me, and I'll be talking about how I make my movies, why I pick the certain scripts, how I work, and just, my overall vision as an artist.
Tell us about Carmen.
Carmen, the hip opera.
Yeah.
It was the first hip-hop opera. It was Beyoncé's first time acting, so, I was her first director. You have Mos Def in it, you have Bow Wow, you have Jermaine Dupri, you have Mekhi Phifer. So it had an all-star cast, and it was a hip-hop opera. And it was based on the opera Carmen, but it had never, no one had ever seen a movie where it was rapping all the way through. And it became one of the highest rated movies for MTV. That's who produced it. But I had the best time working on it, and it just came out. It's on Netflix this month.
Right.
But I'm so proud to work on that film.
I understand. Tell us about the T-Unit.
The T-Unit, that's my daughters and my son. You
right.
know, behind the scenes, they're always working with me. That's my daughter Skye, my daughter Sierra, my daughter Alexia, my son Isaiah. And so, they started when they were really young working with me as babies. And so now, when I work on a project, like I just shot a presentation for a new project, and my kids were, involved in the casting and working with me to identify new talent, new artists. So the T-Unit, those are my babies.
Did they just naturally gravitate to the industry, or did you try to coax them along?
You know what? They naturally gravitated. Well, see, growing up in Hollywood,
mm-hmm,
they've walked many red carpets with me, been to premieres and all that stuff.
Right.
And then at a certain point, they go, I want them talking to me, not just talking to you. So they're always vying for that attention. So I get it.
In the last four decades, obviously Hollywood was a different animal when you first came there. Has it changed that much?
I would say it has changed. There's a lot more images of people of color,
mm-hmm,
and there's a lot of new voices that have emerged. So, you know, when I started, it was just basically me and Spike.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Keenan started to make, you know, movies, and then John Singleton appeared. So, you know, now there's a whole new crop of filmmakers that are, you know, aggressive and taking chances. And so it is a different Hollywood now.
I got two more questions. One question is, are we ever going to see a dramatic television program? The last one I can remember is Lazarus Syndrome with Lou Gossett. Most of the African Americans on television, they're probably in a comedy or a situation, comedy situation.
Well, I mean, when you look at How to Get Away with Murder or Scandal, I mean,
okay,
those are
right
characters in a dramatic situation. When you look at The Chi, that's mm-hmm. a dramatic power. So there are dramas, you know what I mean? So I just know from my side, you know, the new ideas that I have in my head, they're all so different. And so I'm always going to try something new. But I think right now there's a lot more images than we've had before.
Did you ever get a chance to keep the houndstooth hat you had on the Five Heartbeats?
Say that again?
That houndtooth hat that you wore in the Five Heartbeats. Did you keep that or it went back to wardrobe?
I kept it, but what happened was I had a building that was my studio in Hollywood, and when the earthquake hit, I lost everything in the earthquake.
What?
And so, yeah, so all my props and all my stuff was in my building, in my studio, and it was like a 16,000 square foot building, but when the aftershocks came, you know, people were like, we could go in there and get it. I was like, nah, I don't want anybody to die trying to get my hat. Nah. So a lot of my stuff got, you know, lost in the earthquake.
Where do you see yourself 5-10 years from now, Mr. Townsend?
You know what? 5 to 10 years from now, I just want to continue to create.
Okay.
You know, I love, you know, making, you know, movies and television shows. Next month I go down to, you know, Atlanta. I'm shooting Black Lightning, so I've been
mm-hmm.
directing that and acting on that. And then American Soul for BET, I directed a few episodes of that, so I may be going to that. I've been working on a one-man show about my life. So it's just a lot. I'm just being an artist. So for the next years, I just want to continue to create and just do what I do.
Now, American Soul was the story of Don Cornelius and Soul Train?
Yes, sir. So we did the first season. I directed 2 episodes, and people really seemed to love the show. And so now there's a new season, and so, you know, they're putting the schedule together now. And so I'll see if I'm going to come back for that.
Robert Townsend, comedian, actor, film director, producer, writer, and former cable network programming CEO. If you have questions, comments, or suggestions as to future In Black America programs, email us at inblackamerica@kut.org. Also, let us know what radio station you heard us over. Remember to like us on Facebook and to follow us on Twitter. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station or of the University of Texas at Austin. You can hear previous programs online at KUT.org. Until we have the opportunity again, for technical producer David Alvarez, I'm Johnny L. Henson, Jr. Thank you for joining us today. Please join us again next week.
CD copies of this program are available and may be purchased by writing In Black America CDs, KUT Radio, 300 West Dean Keaton Boulevard, Austin, Texas, 78712. That's In Black America CDs, KUT Radio, 300 West Dean Keaton Boulevard, Austin, Texas, 78712. This has been a production of KUT Radio.